Hello to you, and we're back with the Sports Vibe podcast at Vibe 107.6. The new season, new football season has started. Unfortunately for Watford, of course, as we all know from the back end of last season, they've been relegated to the Championship. But three games in and a very positive start, I think you could say, for the Hornets. And we're going to discuss that coming up in today's Sports Vibe podcast. As usual, I'm joined by what I like to call the Motley Crew. It's, of course, Lee Partridge, following Watford for many years, and of course, presenter here at Vibe 107.6. Hello, Lee.
Hello there, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. And we're also joined, not in the studio today, because he's decided to go back to university and develop his career further away from Vibe, but he's still a member of the team, I'm pleased to say. Noah Abrahams, who joins us from his bedroom in Derby. Hello to you, Noah.
Good afternoon, chaps. Hello, how are we?
Not bad, not bad. 2 weeks on the lash for you?
No, it's all right. It's just about coping, just about bearable with the boys. Plenty of alcohol to keep us going, and we're having a good laugh with lots of football, so all good.
I mean, it's so good, as Noah just pointed out, that we have got football to keep us company in what obviously is a bit of a challenging time for everyone, and we'll put that in perspective. But, you know, having football on the TV most nights, it is entertainment. It's a shame there's no fans there, but everyone's doing the best that they can do, and the players are continuing to put in the best performances. And Watford seemed to have started the season very well. I mean, it was obviously the unknown with an unknown manager, and many players declaring that they wanted to leave Watford. But three games in and a good win at the start of the season at home to Middlesbrough, a well fought draw away at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday 0-0, and then the big one, the game that everyone looked to when the fixture list was announced, and that's Luton Town. For the first time in 15 years, it was that Watford and Luton decided to battle it out, because finally they're in the same division. Before we go into the result of that match, I want to start with you, Lee. Just how did you feel before that Luton match on Saturday?
Well, first of all, I've got to clear up, because a lot of people have been saying it's the Hertfordshire derby. I saw loads of different things, it's not. They're in Bedfordshire, we're in Hertfordshire. We need to clear that up, first of all. How did I feel? I'll tell you what, I had the stomach going. It was getting worse and worse when I was thinking about it, leading into it, because just thinking, this is a game we cannot lose, or we must not lose. If we had got a draw, okay, we'd have been disappointed, but it was a must-not-lose game. Not just because of, you know, it's good to get off to start the season with some solid performances and points, but it was, because of what it was a must-not-lose game. So, I was, you know, the stomach was going more and more as we got into it, and then during the game, we'll talk about the result in a minute, but the thought of not getting a result against them would have been just awful. I can't tell you. And I know any Watford fan. Do you know what? Most of the people from the town, I would say, whether they support Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, whoever they support, if they're from or in around the town, you know, they were behind Watford, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And just to echo what you said, Lee, Tommy Mooney said on commentary on the Hornets Hive that in all his time of being a retired professional footballer, he said that was the one morning where he wished he could put his boots back on and go out there and help Watford. Noah, before we move on to the results, obviously, it's fair to say that you're sorry to offend you, Lee, but a lot younger than Lee.
None taken.
You probably can't remember the last time Watford played Luton. How did it feel for you as sort of... because I do remember the last time we played. I mean, I was young as well. But how did it feel for you having the M1 derby back?
Well, my first experience of the derby, a real shame it wasn't on TV, so I had to listen to it on the radio and watch the highlights after. But really enjoyable. One of the most interesting games I've kind of covered, whether that's from Champions League football to non-league football, the Watford-Luton derby always gets you. And for the first time in 14 years, it was a special experience. I think Watford played really well, and that really helped add to what was a really cool afternoon of football.
Absolutely. So let's get to the result. Watford 1-0. A birthday goal for João Pedro. And, I mean, he's put himself in, shall we say, legend status for Watford already. I mean, in, no matter what derby you play, and if you score the winning goal, you're going to be remembered. And obviously we're going to play Luton away at some point this season, but let's see how the tables look at the end of the season. It could be that we don't play each other again for a long time. It was a pleasing performance, Lee, wasn't it? Because it was, as you say, it was gut-wrenching before the game kicked off. And, I mean, I was the same as you. I mean, I just was pretty nervous, to be honest. And as you say, it's a game, as someone who comes from the area, that you just didn't want to lose or draw.
No, definitely not. I mean, I was lucky enough. I was working, so I was working at the club, so I was there for the game. Said it before, it's so disappointing that fans couldn't be there to witness that and be part of that. But we are where we are, and I suppose we can't keep dwelling on that. But there was still a bit of air of tension around. You could see from, you know, the newer players that may have come in the last couple of years. I think Ben Foster played in the last time we played him 14 years ago. I'm sure he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I remember
the only player.
Yeah, there you go. Won all the fight, if my memory serves me right. But, I mean, it was new to lots and lots of the players there. But you could still see that they realised what it meant. But from a playing point of view, I think, because to me, they had been G'd up by Jones because of, obviously, his history with them at their club. He'd G'd them up to what it meant. Whereas I think we, in my opinion, we've been G'd up, we've been told, but what, and the players told the importance of it, but on a much more solid, look, this is we need to be professional here. Don't get caught up in anything. We can't afford to lose a player for getting involved in something they don't need to get involved with. And the game itself, to me, they huffed and they puffed and they worked well. Don't get me wrong, they worked really hard as a team, but you could see the quality. How comfortable we looked on the ball was far better. I don't think anyone could disagree with that. That doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna get the win or get a result, but you know, we did. A clinical finish from Pedro. What deflection! But Pedro and Saar, their pace is going to cause problems for many, many teams this year. Garner settled in really well. Wilmot and Garner looked just so comfortable. They strolled about, but in a positive, in a comfortable, in a calming way. And you've got the pace of Ngakia as well. Cleverly, what a great shift he put in. And, you know, he's so far the three games this year, you can see that he's one of the more experienced players in the team. And that's really coming across and helping the rest of the players. Shalabar, once again, he looked like he'd stepped up from the previous game. You know, going back to those previous games, Middlesbrough, they're going to be well-drilled this season with Warnock. They won't concede many goals, so that was a good start to the season. Once again, away at Sheffield at Wednesday, not to concede, to get a point. You know, that, it's a great start to the season. And I think, because of how we've started as well, you know, say we'd have gone in and we'd have lost our first three games. Players that might be getting their heads turned slightly, not to name any, but they might be thinking, you know what, we've lost the first three, four games of the season. You know, I could go here now. But that will have an impact. They're thinking they're part of something that could be a promotion winning side. And I think that will have a bearing.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, Lee, that, you know, Watford were the far better side. Noah, do you echo that? Do you think overall the quality of Watford shone through, which won in the match? Or do you sort of think Luke, or as some Luton fans that I've heard have put it, that they were unlucky? What's your answer to that question?
No, Luton weren't unlucky. I don't know what game they were watching. Watford dominated from start to finish, back to front. Look, Vladimirovic, everyone had their doubts. I think from the first three games, we can see that he might be a keeper. He's very clever, the way he plays cleverly and behind Saar and Pedro. At the back, like Lee said, Wilmot and Garner and Kouru, terrific. I think, look, there are going to be a lot of 1-0s this season. This is going to be it's going to be hard grafting, and they're going to have to grind it out. But there'll be lots of 1-0 victories with, I think, quite a compact and slightly defensive system. But if that's how you win games, then that's how you win games. I don't have a problem with it. And then going forwards, I think Watford were terrific. Look, on the bench, we've got Murray, we've got Deeney, we've got Gray. And then let's say Sarr leaves, you've still got Pedro. I think this could be a better year for Watford than several fans suspected.
Yeah, it was interesting actually. Andre Gray, he was the special guest on the Hornets Hive, unfortunately missed out through the match through injury. He did actually say some kind words about Luton on there, so we'll forget about that. But he mentioned actually before the match that he went in after the Middlesbrough game, and we'll move on to talk about Ivic's playing style in a second. And it was after the 1-0 win, and he went into the changing room to say well done to the team. And a few of them looked disappointed, and he said, look, what's the matter? And they were like, well, we should have scored three or four there. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, this league is about just getting the results, and the fact that you've managed to get a result along with a clean sheet, shows confidence, and that's a much better result. And he basically referred to some of the players who've never played the Championship before and couldn't believe that the amount of fouls that been let go, and the referee allows the game to go longer, and it's obviously more physical. I think he was referring to Christian Cabaselli, who's really stepped up as well, I think. So it's to grind out these results is very good. Before we move on to talk about Ivic's playing style, I just want to play you Nathan Jones, the Luton manager, after Watford's victory on Saturday. This is what he said about the derby.
I'm not sure. I mean, to be honest, it was probably one of the most lacklustre derbies you'll ever see. I'm not sure anyone in the ground actually realised it was a derby. From our players, their manager, their staff were appealing for yellow cards on every single challenge. I'm not sure there was a tackle in the game.
Lee, what's your reaction to that? Do you share Nathan Jones's view? Do you think that it wasn't a derby, or do you think Watford just outclassed Luton?
I mean, without fans there, it's going to have a different feel to a derby. So, I mean, that's blatantly obvious. I mean, Nathan Jones has been gone too long, maybe. to quite a buck. But, he had them well drilled. But it was going to be different without the fans. And I know what he's saying. He was saying about there wasn't hardly a tackle that he's saying in there. But do you know what? If you're going to have a derby game like that, you don't necessarily... You want it to be strong. You want it to be physical. But you don't want loads of cards. You don't want red cards. You certainly don't. It's going to kill the game. Certainly not from our point of view. But probably because of his time at the club and his experiences of playing in big games for them, it was different for him. But that's where we are, aren't we? That's exactly where we are.
Well, I understand what he's saying. In a derby, you want it to be physical, like Lee said. You want it to be entertaining. But at the same time, Mr. Ivic and his coaches, his backroom staff, are more used to the cards flying out. Look, I don't think it's particularly impressive from Nathan Jones calling it a lacklustre derby. And again, like Lee said, with no fans in the ground, what did he expect? I'm not sure it was the smartest thing to come out and say after losing, because had they have won, he wouldn't have been saying that. It wasn't lacklustre. It was, from what the coverage before or after and during the game, it was as good a derby as it could have been behind closed doors. So, yeah, a bit unimpressive from the Welshman, but I can kind of see where he's coming from at the same time.
Yeah, I think the only incident I can recall was, a minute into Troy Deeney coming onto the pitch. And I think the Luton left-back, did he threw the ball at Jeremy Ngakia? And, Deeney decided, I'm not having that. So, straight away over, and Deeney was the star of the derby. So, there we go. 1 minute in, Troy Deeney's back and showing, how he means to go on in the Championship. So let's now move on from Luton. Brilliant win. Next up is Reading away. They're also started well. They're actually above Watford in the league, won 3 out of 3. Lee, what's your first impressions on Ivic's playing style? Because he was the unknown. A lot of fans questioned whether he was the right move for the Championship. I mean, I went into it with sort of an open mind, just saying, well, it's worked before for the Pozzos. How do you rate the first three matches back and now looking forward to the Reading game? Do you think that's going to be his hardest test?
Much the same as yourself, first of all. I did go into it with an open mind. They've obviously done their homework on him. And, you don't just employ someone or take someone in that role without knowing enough about them. Things have settled in. It's obvious he's kept us tight at the back. But again, with the players we've got players in there that have got Premier League experience playing against some of the best players in the world and trying to defend them or attack the best players in the world. We've also got players that have played in the Championship before, that know the Championship. They know it's a long season. We've got a great mix in there. Plus, off the back of that, we've got some new young players, young talent that are coming in that are really hungry to impress. So with all those three key things, getting the right formula for the match, I think, is really important. And so far, he's been getting that right. The only thing, maybe, we've got Pedro and Sarr, absolutely fantastic players, and they're going to get better and better. Like I said, there's going to cause a lot of teams, and a lot of players, a lot of problems this year. Is either one of them an out-and-out centre forward? Probably not. Just off of one side or the other of maybe a Deeney or a Murray or a Gray of types, maybe. So I think as we go forward, it's trying to incorporate that, could be, to try and get more goals. Because, you know, they will go into lots of... I did see a couple of times when we was playing them, the team from Bedfordshire, when we was playing them, that Pedro and Sarr kept going into the same channel, into the same hole. That changed slightly, obviously, when Troy come on. And I think maybe that's something that we can look at going forward. But you kind of want their pace to be used in the dangerous positions, if you see what I mean. But you know what? Can't criticise how we started. Three clean sheets, 7 points, fantastic.
Yeah, I think any of us would have taken that at the start of the season when it kicked off. Noah, it's a good mix, as Lee says. Not conceded a goal, which is pleasing. Ben Foster is clearly a quality goalkeeper. Do you think that's going to be the right formula that could get Watford back up? Or would you like to see Watford scoring more goals? And do you think they're lacking that at the moment?
I don't think it matters how many goals they score as long as they win games. I think if you win every game 1-0 and you get promoted... who cares? But it's a risky game to play. I don't think that, like I said earlier, I don't think there are going to be many goals scored despite what looks like a decent front two or three. I like Ivic. We'll forget about the Newport game because that's irrelevant. It was a cup game and has no bearing on the season. But I think he plays his teams in a very compact style. He seems very calm, not too animated. He's got his head screwed on. I think actually he's might be the right man for Watford. Give him time. It's early days, but I like what we've seen so far, and he's made some good signings. Two good signings already. He's been at the club, what, a month, and he's brought in some decent players. So I think the future's looking bright with him, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy and Gakia, I was watching that match against Luton thinking, you know, what on earth of West Ham? Well, West Ham, I think, you know, there's a problem there with him and his agent and not wanting to stay at West Ham. But, I mean, his performance he put in against Luton and the previous one against Middlesbrough, you got to wonder, you know, whether Watford have got themselves a star there. And also, as Lee, you pointed out, James Garner slotted in brilliantly and looked so comfortable on the ball. And I feel like Ben Wilmot's been a brand new signing as well. So it's going to be positive signs, but, you know, a couple of bad results could change things slightly. And there are some teams in there that are above us. They've got more points, Bournemouth, Reading, Bristol City. And you always know there'll be a surprise package. So it's going to be a tough season. Let's move on now to discuss the elephant in the changing room, really. I guess there are some faces around there that, you know, some of them we haven't seen this season. A few of them have gone. Roberto Pereira has moved on. You know, there's players that this week he's moved on to Udinese. Watford have brought in a centre-half, though, who's gone the other way. And then you've got the speculation still around players Sarr, Deeney, Capu, Delafeu, Welbeck. That's still on the club's list. It's still going to be a sort of a turbulent week, should we say, and before the transfer window closes. Then, of course, English clubs can also have an extra week to negotiate with themselves. Lee, do you expect to see all those players move on, or are you thinking a few might survive?
I'm just going to be, you know, I'm fairly sure there's going to be more movement in the window because, you know, we've got a big squad. I don't quite know how the books have to be balanced this season. We've got a big squad. We've got three of them, you know, three so-called centre-forwards, Troy, Andre and Glenn Murray, three players that play in a very similar position. So would we need all three of those? Could we accommodate all three of them? Probably not. Are they going to go? Maybe they will. And maybe there'd be loan moves or maybe permanent. Don't know. I think there'll be some movement. Any player that feels he wants to go, I think it's very difficult for any club in the world to keep a player that doesn't want to play for you. And I don't think you can do. We've seen it so many times across many, many different clubs, many, many different players. You only want players that want to play for you. I think it's important that we keep players like Sarr, especially now we've started this season. And he, as far as I'm aware, yes, the big names are coming in. But you know what? he keeps improving, they're still going to come in for him in January, or they're still going to come in for him next year. You know, sometimes players can rush, and then it has a detrimental effect on their career going forwards. And maybe I'm saying that because I want him to stay. Well, of course I do. But, you know, he's only young, and he's got his whole career ahead of him. Players like Will Hughes as well. I think that's really important for the club to keep someone that, to me, has got... He just oozes class. When he plays in the middle, I wouldn't play him out wide. I'd play him in the middle, maybe in a little number 10 role or something like that, or maybe slightly deeper. And I think it's important to keep those players, that, especially the younger ones, that really want to be part of this season and getting a promotion this season. I mean, how fantastic would that be to get a promotion on your CV into the Premier League? You know, some of the players have already done it, but, you know, majority of them haven't, you know. And I just want to say on what you said about Ben earlier, absolutely right. He's a massive part of the club. To have someone with his experience and still performing like he is, you know, in the Championship is just such a big deal for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, in my opinion, I think he's too good for the league. I think he should be playing higher. But, you know, just seeing him around and the fact that he wants to stay at the club is just massive. I think that really lifts the fans and the rest of the team, because he could easily be playing week in, week out at a Premier League club. And I'm sure everyone will agree. Noah, I know you've got the latest on Ismail Assar and a few of the other transfers. I guess it's obviously important to say that these are all just rumours for now. There's been nothing official that's been said. But it's made a Sar. There's a lot of clubs interested in him.
And some big clubs too. Man United, who are after Jadon Sancho. But the rumour is from Manchester that if they can't get Sancho, they'll go for Sar. Liverpool, Borussia Dortmund, Aston Villa. Look, the way I see it is this. He can go two ways.
I thought you said big clubs.
Big clubs. Well, supposedly big clubs. Sar can go two ways. He can go the Grealish way and stay at Watford and become a Watford legend, get them promoted, and he can play with Watford in the Premier League when that we'd like to think eventually happens. Or he can go the Ryan Sessegnon way, leave Fulham and go to a top four, top five team. And how much have we seen of Sessegnon this season? So I think he can go two ways. Obviously, I'd urge him to stay at Watford and become a bit of a club legend and do exactly what Grealish has done, hopefully bring them back up to the Premier League, be a massive asset in the side this season. It'd be a huge loss if he left. Obviously, Lee's right. Heads can get turned so easily with clubs such as United and Liverpool paying interest. But I would love him to stay at Vicarage Road.
I think we all would. And it's going to be an interesting week. Interesting to see whether or not he's going to be in the side against Reading on Saturday. I think he will be. I think that will strike a positive message if he is going into the international break. Obviously, that's Watford. They play Reading this Saturday. Let's go for a score prediction, shall we? Lee, are you going 1-0?
I'm going 2-1 Watford.
So 2-1 to Watford from Lee. Noah, what's your score prediction?
Well, at Reading sit top of the Championship. They've won 3 out of 3. Watford, an equally good start. Well, almost an equally good start. So 1-0, I'm going to say. I don't think Ben Foster will keep a clean sheet. Like Lee says, I wish he could all season, but that's not realistic. But I don't see Watford losing it either, so I'm going to go with 1-0.
I'm going to go for 1-0 Watford. There we go. I think let's continue. For a OCD point of view, I like to see 1-0 all the way through, apart from the 0-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. Let's go for that. Good luck to Watford. They're at the Majewski Stadium on Saturday, 3 o'clock against Reading. That's who we're playing. A good away day. It's a shame we can't be there. Let's move on, though, because it's not all football has started yet. Obviously, it's very important to mention our local sides around Southwest Hertfordshire. Stevenage, they've got underway in League 2. They're okay, they're doing well. They're not bottom of the league, which is good. But, of course, our National League sides, Boreham Wood, Wildstone, Barnet, are not yet started. Obviously, Hemel Hempstead and St Albans City as well, the National League South, waiting to get the season underway. Been a bit of a difficult time for them, obviously, non-league clubs. They rely so heavily on the fans. Good to see yesterday that there is going to be a bailout coming from the government to help support some of these clubs. And I know they're entitled to a grant. I was reading before we started recording. But it's been a bit of a difficult period for these clubs. Noah, you'll have more on the latest. And Willstone made the national news this week.
They did. They've been in every national newspaper over the last 2 or 3 days because they played Chesterfield on Saturday in the National League, their first game back in the National League for a long, long time. But they won't be allowing fans into the ground because they're non-elite, which is OK. No National League sides can. What they are doing, Wealdstone, is allowing fans into their social club. They're blacking out all of the windows because from the social club, you can see onto the pitch. So instead of having fans separated and social distancing in a ground that can hold quite a few, Luke Garrard and Boreham Wood, they'll want to go up this season. They try almost every year and get close. They're away at Wrexham, St Albans City at home to Hitchin in the second round qualifying of the FA Cup, and Hemel Hempstead away to Dunstable for the second round qualifying of the FA Cup.
Yeah, good luck to all those sides, Lee. It's more difficult than ever for the lower league clubs, isn't it? Obviously, we talk about Watford, they're established, they've been in the Premier League, they've obviously, of course, got their problems, and you know, which business hasn't these days, but you know, it is a shame for these non-league clubs, and I know it will be hurting them a lot.
Well, you know, it will, and the times we're in are very strange, but we need to support these clubs, and the clubs need to be getting, you know, supported financially without going into naming players, but we know of players that are getting £600,000 a week, you know, and non-league clubs, which are the ones that we've just all mentioned, Noah, you know, Hemelston, Albans, you know, Barney, Boreham Wood, etc., Wilson, they're at the heart of the communities, you know, and people, and do a lot more than just play on a weekend. There's a lot more to it than that, you know, from the local area. And to see that, right across the country, that some of them might be going by the board because of financial reasons that have happened due to the, you know, the pandemic. And the other thing, I saw an open letter that a chairman from Cultures, I think, had wrote this week to Boris Johnson. It was, you know, well documented, and said, you know, about, you know, football clubs do everything they can to keep people safe. They've done it for years, as in, you know, safety, you know, with stewarding, and et cetera, et cetera. And yes, have fewer players, fewer supporters. But some of the non-league clubs that might only get 100 or possibly 200 people at their grounds. Now, no one can tell me that you can't do that in a safe environment outside, you know, with necessarily safety precautions taken. And then they would virtually be getting the same amount of people at the ground as they was before. But the financial impact for them to help them stay afloat is massive. You know, it's absolutely massive. You know, I did see him say, you know, how comes I can go and get on the plane and with 300 people and travel across the world, but we can't have a few hundred people safely distancing in an outside environment at a football ground. And I really hope that that's something that the government or the FA or the Football League, whoever is in control of it, they, you know, they have a look and try to get the wheels in motion, even if it's at a very, very small amount. Because for these clubs we're talking about, you know, finances are very, very tight at the moment.
And it's, you know, as you mentioned, football's everything to the fans that go and watch it. It's their club, it's their community, and especially for these lower league clubs, you know, people come out of their homes and, you know, it's just a short 5-minute walk to watch the game, or, you know, it's going to buy a beer in the local pub that's next to it and supporting that. So, yeah, it's obviously, I think none of us doubt the reason why we can't be there, but I feel like there needs to be some sort of concessions, especially for these clubs, because they're so important, this pyramid that keeps the top clubs at the top and the lower clubs down the bottom, and obviously the way everyone moves around each season, that it needs to survive. And I'm pleased that the government have obviously helped out to the best they can do, but yeah, there needs to be some sort of reasonable solution to be able to get some people back into those games. And you know, we're heading into winter and it's going to get tougher, but you know, fingers crossed.
What will happen, I was just going to say, what I do see happening is that as things slowly things get eased and kind of to this new normal where people are allowed to go back, some people may be not wanting to travel on public transport or travel to like big stadiums here, so they will take a view to support maybe their local club more. So I think that there's going to be more footfall at the smaller local clubs than maybe ever before, bizarrely enough, when things do start to ease.
I was just going to say that I was at Matlock Town last night, who are, I think, in the ninth tier, so non-elite, and social distancing worked absolutely fine. It was a really enjoyable experience, my first since covering for Vibe. So, yeah, it was my first time covering any football since Bournemouth versus Halifax for Vibe, and it was a really enjoyable experience just to be at football in a safe environment with everyone socially distanced and spread out at a football club like Matlock Town. I don't see any reason why they can't do that in the National League too. So, yeah, I agree with what Lee's saying. Hopefully things get better. I mean, even if it's that every Premier League footballer gave 1% of their wages a week to lower league football, whether that would ever happen, I don't know. But yeah, it's a suggestion, and hopefully things get moving in the right direction again.
Obviously, we're not demanding them to do that, but you know, I think you're saying that some sort of concession has to be made, and I think they will do. I think they'll do the right thing, these clubs at the top, because they understand just how important the clubs are down the bottom. And as you say, it's more important for their players to sort of filter down a couple of leagues, to pick up experience and to get stronger and to understand the game more. And, you know, I think, you know, it's similar to what happened earlier in the season, that clubs, the Premier League and the Championship and Football League, will do the right thing at the right time. So, yeah, anyway, not to dwell on that too much. The National League starts this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how our real local side gets on, and good luck to them. It brings us to the end of this week's Sports Vibe podcast. It's good to be back, Lee. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. And do you know what else? It's good to see that certain sports are still drifting. But I want to say good luck to Matt Wallace and Callum Chinkwin, who are playing the Scottish Open. I think it's a Renaissance club the end of this week and into the weekend, so good luck to them. It's great to be back. It's great football is back, even though we know it's not the same. We're kind of getting used to it, and the sooner we can get fans safely back into watching whatever level of football it may be, whatever club it may be, you know, that's only going to be for the best, not just for the game itself, but for people and for people that relied on things like that for their social life, for the, you know, their days out, their evenings out, whatever it may be, you know, right across sport in general. The sooner we can safely trickle our way back, the better.
Absolutely. And Noah, it's going to be a week of watching sport up in Derby.
That's right. This week, I think I'm at Michelover Sports. I've never been there. It's a club I hadn't heard of before coming up to Derby, but exploring plenty of non-league football, whether that's in the middle of nowhere, going down country lanes to get there, or in town centres in and around Derby and Nottingham. I love a bit of football, whatever I can get my hands on. And absolutely, I will be supporting local sides all across the country whenever I can. So football, and I'm enjoying life up here. I wish I could be back down watching Watford, but hopefully in the future, that's where I'll be.
Good on you, mate. Well,
oh, they're coming to get me, listen.
Well,
he's got more than...
Oh, dear. I think I'm going to have to go.
Well, that brings us to the end of the Sports Vibe podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, if you enjoy what you're listening to, then share or leave us a comment or a review, because that will help us get listened to, apparently. So thank you to you for listening. And we'll be back after the Reading match next week as we lead to an international break, and we'll review Watford's first four games and possibly the end of the transfer window. But thanks for listening. Goodbye to you.